This is URN.
The Popular Table Breakdown.
So, last Tuesday, it was reported that the UK TV channel Sky Arts is producing a 9/11 road trip comedy about how Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and Marlon Brando apparently drove away from New York after the terrorists' attacks on the World Trade Center in 2001, even though no one can actually confirm that happened. An interesting fact about this project, which caused controversy, was the fact that Michael Jackson will be played by a white actor. It's interesting to remember that in 1993, Jackson gave an interview to Oprah, in which he responded to a rumor that that said he wanted a white boy to play him in a Pepsi commercial by saying, "Why would I want a white child to play me? I'm a black American. I'm proud to be a black American." So, what are your perspectives on this topic? Should race matter for casting roles or not really?
Well, obviously race should always matter for casting roles. You don't want to cast a white man to play a black person or a black man to play a white person. But with this, I'm really confused as to why there's such a controversy around it, because at the time the movie is based, Michael Jackson had the complexion of a white man. It only makes sense that someone who looked like him at the time would play him.
I think that's a fair point. If you are looking to cast someone in a particular time of their life, then you should get someone who looks like that person. If it would be another story if they were doing a whole movie about Michael Jackson's life, then I think you'd have to call for a few different casting.
Yeah, you'd have to follow the changes of his complexion and the changes of the movie. I mean, when he did that interview with Oprah about not having a white
boy... '93, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when he was a boy, he was an African-American boy. An African-American actor should have played him in the commercial, but not closer towards the end of his life where he was...
But here is the question. Did he actually feel he was a white person because he was born black?
Well,
and
it's not so much whether he felt it or not. If they're going to tell a story, you have to be as accurate as possible when you're telling a story.
But apparently he had a skin condition, and this is why he became white.
Well, yeah, I mean, his skin condition, vitiligo.
It wasn't something he could choose, but he was born black.
Yeah.
Maybe he felt part of the culture. So what is your perspective on this?
I don't want to delve so far into this whole like race question, because that's not really what I don't think that's what it should be about. I think it should be about, if you're going to tell a story, if you're going to have a movie or a TV show, you want the person playing that character to be as close to the person as possible. Because if this was the other way around, where it was a black man who had a skin condition that, you know, over time changed his complexion to that of a white person, if it was a white person who over time has his complexion changed to that of a black person, if they cast a white man in that role, that would have been a problem, because it's like, at the time people would say, oh, we should have had a black person playing him, there are no roles for black people. But then when it's this case, all of a sudden it's a problem. I just don't think that there should be a problem around this subject, especially not if the movie's about this time of his life where he was, for all intents and purposes, white.
That's a fair point. One thing that I learned that was rather interesting the other week is, I mean, it's somewhat related, is that, for example, in New Zealand, a lecturer actually told me this, because I do a class in the philosophy of race. So in New Zealand, the native people, the Maori people, are often cast as black people or as
that's interesting.
Hispanics. Yes, because their complexions is similar to that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think the point I'm trying to make is that when casting, it is important to go for a representation of the person you're trying to portray. Having said that, I don't think the person in a real world necessarily has to be exactly the same as the character, if that makes any sense.
Mm. I think also there's always this question about casting. For example, in all the films from the 1960s or even before, you had roles were supposed to be people from the Middle East, for example, were played by people from North Africa. So you think, oh, but they have the same skin color and everything, but they're not. They don't actually have the same complexion and everything. And it's, I think, part of the reason why there is this controversy also about it is that even if they look like each other, you also have the background with the culture and everything. And I mean, it's just a thought, but couldn't it have been a mixed ethnicity person who is also white passing? You have a few actors, really good actors, were in this case. So still having this background of knowledge about race issue and everything, white still keeping with the he was white at the time, but still having the in the past he was black.
Like, ultimately this movie is like, ultimately there's always going to be a bit of like, everyone's walking on eggshells when it comes to making a movie about Michael Jackson's life or, you know, closer to the time of his death. And so I think whatever route they would have gone, there would have been controversy either way, just because it is Michael Jackson and there's always controversy surrounding him. And so I think at the end of the day, we just kind of have to, maybe they should put like a disclaimer at the beginning of the movie, or they should talk about it or something. Maybe they should like show that they realize.
The interesting thing, fact though, is that Elizabeth Taylor actress, she's actually being played by a white actress. So they obviously took into consideration the skin color, but they didn't take skin color into consideration when it came to Michael Jackson, I guess.
Well, I think if you're looking at Michael Jackson at the time of the event, he is white.
Yeah.
And therefore, I think it is sensible.
Even though that he said before that he didn't want to be played by...
Well, he said that when it came to a child in a Pepsi commercial. And as a child, it would be ridiculous to cast a white boy for a child Michael Jackson. And I'm sure they did take race and complexion into consideration when they were casting Michael Jackson. They probably just came to the decision that that would be the best choice out of, like, the lesser of two evils. Out of all possible controversies and all possible feathers they could ruffle, this would be the least. Maybe that's what they thought. That could have been wrong. But I think people need to realize that either way, no one was going to be necessarily happy about whatever happened. I don't think there's a perfect choice.
Yeah. I can also make a link between what is this event actually with what happened with the girl who was cast as Hermione for Harry Potter, which she was actually a black girl, and many people were thinking, wait, but Emma Watson is white, because you kind of associate Hermione with Emma Watson.
Yeah.
That's not what happened.
What do you mean?
In the book, it's never written
anywhere. In the book, but on the casting and how people perceive that Hermione is going to be like.
At the time of the first casting, I'm not sure there really was all this fan canon about Hermione being black. At the time, I don't think it was as developed, but then in recent years, you had this really push by the fandom, by the Potterheads, that Hermione should be black, but it's never actually said in the book.
Yeah, it doesn't say. Yeah,
so
I read the book.
I don't think it's at all the same thing.
It's not,
but
like,
when you see being represented by Emma Watson, you kind of expect someone to be her.
Well, you
can't look like
expect
her.
Them, because the thing is, the Harry Potter movies and then this I don't think it's a musical, but
this musical,
yeah, it's not one in the same. Like, they're both the same story, but J.K. Rowling was very specific, because I know she tweeted about her. She did an interview where she was like, she never specified the race of any of the characters. She just said Hermione had frizzy hair and
and I think that's fair enough, really.
Yeah.
It's just like, I get it when people say, oh, no one can replace Emma Watson, because I think we all grew up watching Emma Watson, so whoever it was, we would always be like, why Emma Watson's not playing Hermione?
Anyway. Actually, I never watched any of the Harry Potter movies.
Really?
I stopped at number 2.
I wanted to. My parents were like, no, you can't watch it. And so I never did. And I never read the books either.
You need to read the books. Seriously.
Do I?
Yes, you need to. Because it's so good.
And right now we're going to discuss about the phenomenon that it's the Super Bowl ads. I'll pass the discussion to our brand new member of the popular table. Demi, what are the positive and negative outcomes from these ads?
Well, so Super Bowl's today. And if you're anything like me and you don't understand the hype around American football, mainly because it really shouldn't be called football because they don't use their feet and it should be called something like Ultimate Catch. But I digress.
Hand egg, I think.
That's exactly. Or like throwing the skin around or something. Foot should not be there. Anyways, so arguably one of the best parts about the Super Bowl are the commercials. And over the years, some of the biggest companies in the world have coughed up like up to $5 million just for 30 seconds on the day.
Wow.
Well, but they have revenue, so it's all right.
I mean, if you think about it, like,
this
half of
profit.
The country's watching this show, and they're all going to see that ad. So, you know,
I would be interested to see the impact that a Super Bowl ad has on revenue.
Like the statistics and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have
it at
my disposal.
At the same time, who has that kind of money? Not everyone can pay up to $5 million.
Well, these are the big companies
like
that are
Coca-Cola,
paying for
Coca-Cola, Pepsi,
but that's
T-Mobile.
The thing. It's always the big...
Well, I mean, you have to be big to get into the Super Bowl. You can't just expect, like...
Go hard or go home.
To show up. Exactly. Yeah, and so, like, last year, T-Mobile had the Kim Kardashian...
Oh yeah!
Which everyone apparently
it
loved.
Was so funny. I liked it. She was mocking herself.
She was.
I'm not
yes.
a fan of the Kardashians, but that's another story.
Everyone has like a love hate relationship with the Kardashians. I know I do. Sometimes I love them and I'll stalk them on Instagram and Twitter, and then other times I'm like,
this is
so
annoying.
This is such.
Yeah.
I think they're a waste of time, and they're a sad reflection of where society has descended to. In terms of intellect.
Ouch.
I just don't care. I mean, they can do their stuff on their side, but it doesn't...
I mean, it was a big problem earlier when Cosmopolitan called them America's first family, and people lost their
minds. Yeah,
because, like, we already have a first family. It's the Obamas. Why would you call the Kardashians our... They don't represent America. They represent, like, the 5%
rich
of people...
Rich part of America.
But yeah. Then at the same time, when you look all the other titles from Cosmopolitan, it's not the most...
Yeah, you can take Cosmopolitan seriously. They just... No.
You can't take them seriously.
No.
You are right. And you know, Coca-Cola has the polar bear in all their ads. Mm.
To this day, still.
I think they're changing it. I read somewhere that they were changing it, but so far it's been the polar bear. I'm excited to see what they have.
Mm. Did you see the T-Mobile one with
Drake? The one with Drake. Yeah, that one was really good, where he was like filming his Hotline Bling music video, and then the phone company comes in and is like, oh, can you please add that our phones are really cheap and our coverage is really far and things like that. And Drake's really sarcastic. He's like, yeah, absolutely. That doesn't ruin the song at all. And then T-Mobile
I'm
like,
in two minds about Drake. I do think he's charismatic. I do like him, and that Hotline Bling song is
it's good, it's catchy. The lyrics is a little bit not clever,
not the first thing on my playlist, but
Hotline Bling is always the first thing on my playlist. As I wake up in the morning, brush my teeth, listen to Hotline Bling, and get ready for school.
But which ads do you think that it stands out in the Super Bowl?
Well, this year, the one I've seen so far is the Heinz ad, where they have these little wiener dogs dressed up as hot dogs, and they're like running across the field, and they're running to their new family, and their new family is like a ketchup bottle and mustard and relish and things like that, and it's really cute, and these dogs, they like jump into the air into the ketchup's hand, and it's adorable. You guys should all watch it.
I saw that. It was quite a spectacle to see all these dogs running.
It's so
across.
Creative as well.
Yeah, I think the ad industry is it is a place for creativity. I did see one advert for a company called Jet.com. So I don't know what this company actually does. And usually an advert...
Was it for the Super Bowl?
This is a Super Bowl advert for a company, Jet.com. So usually you would expect an advert to hint at what the service you provide.
Mm-hmm.
But this advert, I mean, unless it's banking on people already knowing the company, took the opportunity... Of it to spend however many millions of dollars.
$5 million to tell us about
on a
bowls.
Minute spot to tell us about Super Bowls. And they were just two people inside saying, oh, we have a Super Bowl here. You can use this for a Super Bowl. But you know what? Part of me thinks it's a bit crazy, but at the same time, it is staying in my mind. So.
You know, that is true. I remember I went to South Africa in 2014 for Christmas, and there was this ad for BMW, and I can't remember exactly what they said, but the sentence didn't quite make sense. Like, grammatically, it was fine, but then when you read it and you say it out, it was just a little off. And to this day, I still remember this BMW 3 Series black saloon car. And because the ad was slightly off.
Was that on purpose?
Probably. Because you wouldn't think someone would pay that much money and put it right in front of the airport, like the first thing you see when you land in Cape Town. And it would be bad.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that the aim of an ad is that people will then go and check out your company and mm-hmm. buy your stuff.
That's true.
I remember this, so I was really, really into adverts, but on a creative side. So
yes.
We had this show in France, which was a show purely based on ads and showing the best ads from around the world. And one of them was an ad for the TV channel 13 Street. And it was one of the weirdest and best ad that I've ever seen, and I still can remember it. And mm-hmm. you have those ads that just stay with you, and I think that's also one of the aim that what they want to do with the Super Bowl is to make all the adverts that are there as that you will remember after.
Who remembers the Go Compare ads?
Yes, that's very true.
Everyone remembers those
hell.
Go Compare ads with the fat guy in the mustache, and he was just like, Go Compare for like 30 seconds every 20 minutes, because yes. apparently ITV had nothing else to play.
Yeah, and it also goes for the meerkats.
Yeah, compare the meerkat.com.
There are some great campaigns out there, but they are
or the
annoying.
Cadbury ad with the gorilla playing the drums.
Yes.
And then the one with the yes. little children with the eyebrows, like dancing with the eyebrows.
I find
well.
A lot of the time adverts these days focus less on actually telling us what the product is about,
mm-hmm.
but as you said, creating this evocative image in our heads that will stick there.
Yeah.
I think there is a fine line between creativity and publicity nowadays, which is so interesting to see. I really like when they just blow my mind and go like, I actually like to watch this ad.
Yeah. Mm.
Because some ads is just, you don't mind. It's just interesting to watch. I remember about the John Lewis
the Christmas
campaign.
Ads?
Yeah, the Christmas mm-hmm. ads.
Everybody waits them every year, so...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing with adverts. Even from the... Well, maybe not from the beginning, but it's been going on for some time now, that really they want to be creative and they want to have that sentence that people will remember. You have a few ads on French TV that have... Some of them are really old, but now some of the sentences that were in those ads... or part of common language, or they've all become expression phrases that we all say in normal yeah. life that came from adverts.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious when a company's just trying to publicize
just sell it.
Like the T-Mobile Kim Kardashian ad, obviously that wasn't the best ad in the world, but the
but
fact that they had
creative.
Kim Kardashian and everyone's like, oh my gosh, I love or I hate Kim. And, you know, with Drake, it's like, I love or I hate Drake. But then you remember that it was Drake or it was Kim that was in that ad.
That's true.
As opposed to, like, an ad with a meerkat. But then I guess the meerkat became kind of famous.
So are people more excited for the Super Bowl or the adverts of the Super Bowl?
Adverts of the Super Bowl.
I don't care about the Super Bowl.
I don't care about
adverts,
the Super Bowl.
Definitely.
I think I fall into a mix of those.
I remember when I was in high school in the States and the Super Bowl was a big thing and everyone went down to the cafeteria to watch the Super Bowl and I had no interest in it whatsoever. The only reason I went was because there was a cute guy there and I was like, well, he's watching it. let me show up and get involved in the Super Bowl. And I was really loud, like, oh my gosh, yes, go Spurs. Like, the Spurs are a basketball team.
Spurs are a basketball
I mean,
team.
Go the Broncos or go whoever they are. I was just there to, you know, get the attention of that one cute guy.
Aww. That's as good as a reason as any.
I see.
It's the reason most people do stuff.
Did you guys see the Doritos campaign for the Super Bowl?
This year or last year?
The one that the woman is pregnant.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh.
That was really good. And apparently it wasn't even someone from the company. It was just a regular person who entered a competition and won.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, the Doritos do have that. I'm not sure if it's annually, but I do recall several times where they've held competitions for public people with aspirations to create.
Do you know if the people who won actually have money?
I think
well,
there's like a $50,000 prize, but it suits Doritos because they get
yeah.
a whole bunch of adverts and get to choose the best one. Which
not
they
to mention
deem.
If your ad gets picked, like that's just starts
yeah,
your career.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that you have loads of company. What they do is they say, oh, you know, we ask all people, art students, go and do our posters or find the slogan or do things, and you'll only be credited. But that's them trying
yes.
instead of paying people, they just do this competition, which is so wrong.
But it's clever
and it's really good for your career.
So
it's
I
like
guess what we are saying here is that there is this creative side on the ads industry, and the fact that it comes on Super Bowl and then people they have expectations for it, it makes everything more interesting, I guess.
Yeah.